Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Tuesday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam Black. Gang's all here. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody.
Doing fine, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
You okay?
Oh, yeah. Doing great.
Okay, good.
How are you?
I'm good. Everything's okay over here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did you have a good night?
Night was fun. I cooked dinner for myself.
That's an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, my old lady went to painting with people from work. You know, like the painting downtown you can do. You drink wine.
We drink wine.
Yeah. She did a good job painting a bicycle, by the way. I mean, maybe a untapped calling for her, but it's like, you know what? I'm going to fix dinner. So I went and bought groceries and fixed myself dinner and leftovers for lunch. The one time I actually cooked, she didn't get home till like 9, so she got to eat a little bit of it, which, whatever. Guess all my effort was just unappreciated or whatever, but... felt like such a housewife. I put the food in the oven, had the food in the oven waiting on her.
As she comes
when
in,
when she drug herself in from wine drinking out with her girls, food's in the oven.
She rolls in just sloshed. Where's dinner?
She overcompensates. Like, oh, it's so good. I was like, okay. I know it's not that good.
It probably was.
You don't have to fake it with me here. Save all those up for later.
Well, what did you make? Like some kind of
nothing special, but it was special for me. Okay,
you don't want to talk about it?
No, I mean I did it all by myself. Made some turkey burgers.
Okay,
some roasted potatoes and some garlic broccoli.
Okay,
yeah. I think it turned out pretty okay.
Yeah,
it's a big deal for me.
Well, good.
Yeah,
you hit all the food groups.
You got
your protein and your cruciferous vegetable and a carb. So you did great.
Thanks, man.
You had the three essentials there.
Thanks. I was proud of myself.
Yeah. Well, good. Good.
But like, I didn't get off my feet until like 8:30. It's a whole ordeal. I had to cook, had to clean, had to do it all. Just watch TV in the background. Long day, long night.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. I decided against having kids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the life of a stay at home dad.
We're at the point where like in the cycle, I'm back to not wanting kids. Every year around Father's Day, I'm like, okay, this would be fun. Let's do this. And then by the middle of July, I'm like, never mind.
Nah.
I can barely take care of myself and you. Like she takes care of both of us. I barely even have to do anything. I throw a kid in there, and then it's going to completely ruin my setup.
Yeah, I think that just makes it way more difficult.
So I'm back. I'm back out.
Yeah. Well, good.
That was my day. Watched a little wrestling.
What kind of wrestling was on?
Raw. It was Monday night.
No, that makes sense.
It's been only been on for like, what, 30 years now?
Yeah, it's been quite some time.
28, now. Something like that?
It's been a long time. Sometime in the 90s, early 90s, is that when it started?
Yeah, I want to say it was like 92. I don't know. They had a Raw 25 anniversary not too long ago, so I'm thinking it's 92.
Coming up on 30 years.
Yeah.
In 3 years, it'll be 30 years.
2018. January 22nd, 2018, I think was the that was the 25th anniversary, so I'm assuming it was, you know, 1993 around January. So, yeah. Monday night, that was the wrestling I was watching.
It's about as old as me.
Watched a little bit of the Braves. Nothing really going on in sports, so that was pretty much it. Watch Aziz Ansari's Netflix special. It was pretty good.
Does he have a new one out?
Yeah, it was the one we went to see because we were doing the show last. We were already doing the show last year when I went to see him. Right? Yeah. It was just like last year, right?
I don't remember.
I went to see him. You made fun of me for going to see him. Yeah, I remember
we've been
now.
On the air for 2 years together.
Well, I was trying to think about how long it was ago, you know, when I went to see him because, you know, years running together and all that. But it was basically the one he did in Knoxville with some added stuff to it. So it was good. It was funny. I like Aziz. So that was my Monday night.
Why did I make fun of you for going to it?
Oh, you would. Aziz. Yeah. He's no George Carlin.
Is that what I said?
Richard Pryor is just... Anything outside
those guys are dead.
Anything outside of 1975, I don't respect in any form of pop culture except Heat.
That was 1995.
Yeah, except Heat.
Really, nothing in the 2000s. I mean,
no, I know. Except Wolf of Wall Street.
That was a great. Yeah, Scorsese.
The Departed. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, Scorsese.
Yeah, you know,
says it all basically.
So that's why you made fun of me. But I watched that last night. And it was pretty good too. I laughed. That was my Monday night.
Sounds like a pretty good Monday night.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad Monday night. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. Tennessee set to go to do their SEC Media Days thing. They're probably getting ready to do their private room. The way that works down there is they have the big time in the ballroom, right, where they address all the media, but usually they'll give Tennessee media a private session. Usually before they go on stage, basically right after they get into Hoover. So there's Pruitt's supposed to go on stage at what, 2:30? Oh, suck, that's right when we go off the air.
Pruitt's today at 2:30?
Yeah. So I'm sure he'll get to Hoover about 1:15, 1:30 or so. Then they'll do their little private session, and then they'll hit the ballroom.
Are they flying down on the team jet?
Yeah, it's usually how they do it.
I remember when they would do that with Butch. They used to always tweet out those pictures of the guys on the jet. I think Butch thought that was a cool thing to do.
I mean, it's kind of cool. I've never ridden on a private jet.
I mean, I think it would be cool, too.
Yeah.
Hop up on a Learjet.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
I don't think it would be that cool to fly it into Birmingham, Alabama, but...
No, I mean, that would be very low on my list of... Very low on my list of places I would want to fly into, but.
I could get behind the jet lifestyle.
It's probably only, what, like an hour flight at most?
From here? Oh, yeah, probably. Just a straight shot down, you know, Chattanooga, and then boom.
Hey, yeah.
Birmingham, you're there.
Just long enough to say you did it, I guess.
Yeah. I think it would be cool.
Okay.
So I wonder what he'll talk about today.
I don't know. What do you want to hear him say? Because, I mean, I don't think there was any big sports stories of the day. I mean, the Braves win their fourth in a row out of the All-Star break. That was pretty much it. Yankees got beat by one guy who hit 3 home runs yesterday. That was kind of cool in baseball, I guess. But outside of that, not really anything going on. So I guess we'll just keep our attention on SEC Media Days. The Grizzlies, by the way, won the Summer League Championship.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, Brandon Clark's going to be a beast, I think. He won Summer League MVP. Not that that's really saying anything. But he was somebody at Gonzaga that you thought was a stud, and he's came in, and his first taste here in the NBA has been pretty good. Hit some clutch shots, made some clutch plays. I think the Grizzlies trio is pretty damn good. You know, not too long ago, 6 months or so ago, I was arguing with Parker about the Grizzlies' bleak future, and then they went out and got John Morant and Brandon Clark to pair with Jaren Jackson Jr., and I think the Grizzlies have a pretty good trio. That's a pretty good core that you should be able to keep together for the next 5 or 6 years. So if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, you know, it's a summer league, whatever, but you should be excited. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Kyle Alexander, his basketball career is not going to take him overseas just yet. Now, some people were mistaken in, like, the deal he got. It's not like he's in the NBA yet. It's not like he's going to be in the NBA this year, but they're trying to keep him from going overseas. He's signed with the Miami Heat a Exhibit 10 contract, which means that he gets to basically lock up a definite invite to training camp. Then if he doesn't get one of the two-way contracts, he gets waived, but then it gives them the option to re-sign him to the G League team, and he can earn some money. He can earn up to $50,000 in bonus money. by signing the Exhibit 10 deal that he signed. A lot of people were, you know, kind of confused, thinking that meant he was already on the roster. This pretty much ensures that he's not going to be on the roster, but it does give him the chance to get a G League contract. And there are two-way contracts that get handed out. He might get one of those, maybe. But it'll give him a little bit of money and basically says, look, hey, come to training camp. We'll see if we can find you a spot. We'll see what you can do. We're impressed enough with you where we'll give you one of these deals. Now, again, it's basically just a way for him to make a little bit of money and as they try to keep him from going overseas. But shout out to Kyle Alexander. He at least passed the first test. Summer League was the first test. He passed that. He advanced. They offered him a training camp invite. So as he tries to really make a roster and grind to do that, so far, so good for Kyle Alexander, which is something that makes all of us happy. But I guess now we'll turn our attention back to SEC Media Days. What do you want to hear from Jeremy Pruitt? Is there anything you want to hear from him today? Tweet us in. Cody, you get your answer ready. We'll talk about it after the break. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Cody, do you care at all about Jeremy Pruitt's trip to Media Days today? Is there anything you want to hear him say?
Oh, there's a lot of things I'd like to hear him say.
Like what?
We're going to be singing Rocky Top all night long in the swamp.
So you want to hear him just come out and...
I'm going to break Nick Saban's legs.
Be braggadocious?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to hear him come out with some real balls, you know?
I mean, we've tried that before. It hasn't gone so well.
I'd still like to hear him talk. What's the difference? If you're going to lose anyway, you might as well talk doing it. I like it. I want to hear him say, you know what? When Georgia comes in here, I'm going to kill Ugga.
Okay.
I'm going to drown him in his own food bowl, his water bowl. I'm going to drown him.
Talk about how he's inbred and how he's going to be doing him a favor?
Yeah.
I don't know, but do it in your voice. I can't do a Pruitt voice, but talk about how... You know, I never really thought about it, but when I first, you know, earlier this year, like in January, I heard my favorite radio show, Talk Sports, really discuss Bulldogs, and I didn't realize how, you know, much in pain and how terrible their quality of life was. So I'm going to do that dog a favor and put him out of his misery.
Whenever Georgia rolls in here, all right, I'm going to kill Ugga. I'm going to grab him by his collar. And I'm going to wrap a rope tightly around his neck, and I'm going to strangle him to death, all right? And we may lose to Georgia, but that damn dog in his air-conditioned house will no longer be with us.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it in front of everyone on the 50-yard line.
There we go. I mean, you didn't really get the part in about them being inbred or your favorite show being Talk Sports, but whatever. No big deal.
They struggle with breathing.
Reproducing.
Reproduction.
Or reproducing.
And
either,
just
either
general
one.
Daily life activities.
Yeah.
Because of the stubby legs and the cholesterol.
So you want to hear him be braggadocious. You want to hear him come up and say, hey... Tennessee's back. We're going to win a lot of games.
I mean, he's not going to do that, obviously, but that would be the only thing that would give me any interest.
Okay.
Haven't
we tried that before? Didn't Dooley do that his third year, about not having Tennessee to kick around anymore?
Yeah.
Did I make that up? Or was that at SEC Media Days?
Yeah. I love the quotes. Looks dumb now because
he's
awful. But
I mean, it looked dumb really pretty early on in the season, too, because Tennessee was still getting kicked around. Now
that's fine. We're going to get kicked around anyway. Might as well make some headlines.
So you're back to thinking we get kicked around again this year?
I mean, we're going to get kicked around in some games, yeah.
I guess they're going to ask Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee's players about Piron's comments yesterday, right?
I'm sure they'll address it. What did he say?
Where P. Ryan was asked about Tennessee, and he said, no, that's not a rivalry game.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense for Florida to have that that angle on it. If you want it to be a rivalry, you got to make it a rivalry.
Yeah, that's pretty much what was said.
Yeah. I mean,
it was like, hey, yeah, no, that's not. First of all, whoever asked that question can go to hell. I don't know who asked it, but whoever did can go to hell.
What if it was Trey?
Trey? If you asked it? I got a one-way ticket for you, buddy.
What was the question?
Basically, just asked about Tennessee. I don't know the exact question, but it was, there was a question concerning the Gators' SEC East rivalry with Tennessee. Like, who's asking that question? What are you? I mean, I guess if you're wanting a soundbite, you got a soundbite. I noticed that your name's not in the story, though, that has been regurgitated, so it's not like you got the credit for this story, for this question, and producing the content.
Weird question to ask in 2019, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like Tennessee's should be, you know, at the forefront of the conversation. Like, 2015, 2016, okay. 2019, we went 5-7. We shouldn't be asking other players about Tennessee right now. Did a real disservice. Now, granted, I don't know what your motivation was, but that's a dumb question. Unless you were just wanting to twist the knife into Tennessee fans. Which, I mean, I feel like Piron's quotes were pretty dismissive of Tennessee. And look, not saying he's right or wrong, but I'm sure Florida's not worried about Tennessee. Right?
They don't look at us the same way that we look at them.
I mean, I think they care.
They like beating our brains in.
Yeah, I think they take some real pleasure in beating Tennessee. So from that respect, I don't think I believe them when they say it's just another game.
I don't know if they – do they take any more pleasure? I mean, these guys – you got to remember, none of these players grow up – none of these guys have grown up with the Florida-Tennessee rivalry.
Okay, so you believe him that he pretty much doesn't care about this. Because it always seems like Florida fans have a little bit extra. Florida fans and Florida players always have a little bit of extra juice when it comes to Tennessee.
I don't know if they do or not. I think they just like kicking our ass.
Just the same as kicking anybody's ass? I mean, I don't see all the...
I mean, from the player standpoint, I mean, what do these guys know about Florida-Tennessee? I mean, they're 18 to 22.
I mean, the same thing... The same thing we know about Tennessee and like Alabama. We haven't seen that either, but we know it's supposed to be something.
Well, Tennessee Alabama is different, though, to me.
How? I
mean, well, that's a historic rivalry.
Okay. I mean, to these kids, it's historic. The Tennessee Florida rivalry is like
Alabama, though, they still respect us as a rival.
I mean,
they do.
They hate us.
They do.
I don't know if they respect
but
us.
Saban still respects us as a rival. Like, the Tennessee game is a big game. It's the third Saturday in October. It's when the cigars come out. That's viewed as a rivalry. When has Florida ever really, I mean, we've only ever been Florida's second, in the peak of the 90s, their second biggest rival at most. I mean, Florida State's always going to be their biggest rival. For a long time, Miami was a rival. Georgia's a huge rivalry for them. I mean, Georgia's a bigger rival than we are. I just don't think they look at us nearly the same.
I mean, there was a lot of talk, though, just as long as, you know, as far as what, 2016? I mean, they spent all offseason talking about Tennessee that year. Ducks, bull trucks, all that stuff.
Well, that was also when we were good, and a lot of people were picking us to win the East.
That's what, I mean, know. But, you know, at that time, I mean, if you're talking about just not winning, I mean, we were on a 11-game losing streak, so, I mean, it wasn't like we were winning. They cared a lot about us then. I mean, I think right now, you know, if Tennessee being down, although they did celebrate a lot in 2017 with that Hail Mary, like, that was a big game for them.
Well, that was an emotional finish.
I know, but the whole game in general, you know, was pretty big for them, it seemed like. At 2018.
They got them their fourth win of that year.
Yeah, now 2018, I mean, you know, whatever.
They won four games that year.
Sure.
2017. And then that was one of them.
Yeah.
That was maybe the worst Florida team I've ever seen.
No, the one in 13 was way worse.
The one that lost to Georgia Southern?
Yeah, that one was way worse.
I don't know. 2017 was pretty bad.
Okay, maybe.
They still beat us on a Hail Mary.
Yeah, but I mean, 2013 they beat us handedly somehow.
I think it was 2013?
Yeah, it was like 31-17, right? Was it 14?
Was that not the 10-9 game?
No, that was 2014.
Yeah, 31-17, that's what it was.
This is the one where you went down.
That's where Peterman. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And he threw a pick after, or like.
Oh, he did a lot of things.
He
accounted for six turnovers, I think.
And like 20 yards.
Like
maybe.
four fumbles and two picks, I think.
Like six turnovers and like 20 yards, it felt like.
Yeah.
And then Worley came in and threw a touchdown pretty early on.
It would have been better starting Juwan James at quarterback.
No, because the offensive line got dominated that game. You needed at least a first-round talent on there doing something.
Well, if you had a clone of Juwan James.
Yeah.
Really anybody besides Peterman.
Really anybody else.
Anyone else on the roster.
A.J. Johnson could have done the beast package and
would have been fine.
Maybe had a little bit more luck.
Yeah. Would have been just fine.
So we're just are we back to just where we have to be good for it to be a robbery? I mean, because you agree if Tennessee becomes good again, Florida's going to care, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for 2 years, it hasn't been a robbery in your eyes?
Not really.
1 year?
My point is they will still never care like we care.
Okay.
Beating us will never be as sweet to them as beating them is to us. Because we've made them our biggest rival.
Well, I'm done with that, as I've told you. That was one of my resolutions. I don't care about the Florida game. No thanks,
it's
P. Ryan.
It's good to have a rival, though.
Yeah, we got one. We got a couple.
I mean, really, Florida's the only one that's ever mattered, though. I mean, besides Alabama. I mean, we can't have Vandy as a rival.
Why not?
Because it's Vandy.
It's in-state.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Vandy.
People care. I see people talk about Vandy all the time.
When we acknowledge Vandy as a rival, that's the day the program is done.
I mean, we acknowledge Vandy as a rival these days. No, well,
we're done.
Aren't they 5-2 against us the last 7 years? Isn't that the number?
They are, but you still can't acknowledge them as a rival.
So you'd rather just be the little guy chasing Florida with it when they don't care about you? Like, is that how they feel?
That's how we are as a fan base. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we turn up our nose at Vanderbilt.
I see people talk about Vanderbilt a lot. I don't think there's as much nose turning up as you. I mean, I think we just always point to history.
I mean, nobody really considers Vandy a big-time rivalry game. No Tennessee-Vandy game has ever come close to the draw of a Tennessee-Florida game.
No, that's true. I mean, Vandy hasn't ever been good enough.
Even if they were.
I mean, if Vandy was a top 10 team 1 year, then I think would change. But
that's why, to me, viewing them as a rival is just very diminishing. We don't want to set – that's not the standard we want for ourselves.
It's really sad when you think of it through those lenses. That, like, you know, Vandy is to Tennessee, what Tennessee is to Florida, that's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. It is sad. I mean, that's really the truth of it, though.
The series isn't as lopsided, although, I mean, if you go, you know, just basically from 1990, it is.
Isn't Florida, like, in the last 30 years, did I see something, they're like 23-7 against us the last 30 years?
Since 1990, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Tennessee has 7 wins against Florida since 1990. So that's 29 years.
That checks out.
Yeah. 1990, man. 45-3. Felt good.
And then there were 6 others since 1990. In all those years, there were 6 other times that felt good. And we can pretty much name them all off, right? 1990, there was 98. There was 01, 03, 04, and 2016.
You forgot.
And there's one more somewhere in the 90s.
92.
Okay. So 90, 90, 92, 98, 01, 03, 04. Got them back to back. And 2016.
Feels like we really missed a good opportunity to play them as very, you know, we didn't really play them too much in the 70s through 90. Like, we could have maybe had a lead in this series. I mean, because as it stands now, it's 28-20 in Florida's favor.
It's been lopsided for the last, 30 years.
Although they did beat us both in 76 and 77. Beat us both in 84 and 85. Should have got him in the 60s.
We must have dominated him in, like, what, the 50s or somewhere?
No.
What decade was it that, I mean?
Dominated him in the late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
Yeah, from the origin of the series in 1916 through 1944, we were undefeated against them.
Really?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We were 8-0 against them.
Okay.
Shout out Neyland for separating us from Florida and Vanderbilt and letting us just destroy it from that point
on. He did do that. So we were 8-0 against them pre-1944.
Yeah, and then, up until 1954, we were 10-0. We were 10-0 through 1954. They got their first win against us in 1955, and it was a resounding 20-0 loss. Go to hell, Bowden Wyatt.
So if my
math – whoever you are. I've never even heard of that coach.
I've heard of Bowden Wyatt.
Well, if you couldn't score, bro?
If my math checks out, that means that 14-0, since 1954, Florida is 28-10 against us?
Yeah, that would be correct.
Since 1954.
Yeah.
And didn't we always kind of take credit for dominating Florida before Spurrier came along?
I mean, that's technically not wrong.
Until Spurrier, it's what, like 10-4?
10-1, 11-1, 11-2, 12-2, 13-2, 2?
Yeah.
So 13-6. Yeah, you're 13-6 against them before Spurrier.
But most of these wins happened in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. We just, we'd only lost to them 6 times before Spurrier. If you follow the old timeline on Winsipedia, it's kind of insulting that they give Florida orange in this scenario. Because I'm seeing all this orange and I'm thinking, oh, this looks good, but it doesn't.
Oh.
It's bad. It's Florida. Florida's orange. And there's a lot of it since 1990. A lot of it.
So Fulmer and Spurrier started battling it out in, what, 92?
Yep. You got that first one.
No.
So.
No. Fulmer didn't take over till after the Florida game in 92, right?
I thought that was his first full season as head coach.
I think Fulmer beat Florida. That's part of what won him the full-time job, wasn't it?
Maybe. According to Winsipedia, it says head coach Johnny Majors. It doesn't have Philip Fulmer on there until 1993. Now, maybe, like you said, maybe they were just giving him credit because he was an interim head coach. So maybe you're right on that.
I think he took over midseason and beat Florida. Actually, I don't know.
Play them later Florida, back then?
That might not check out, though, because Florida played in that first SEC championship against Bama.
I mean, the Florida game was still the early September in 1992.
Could have been their only loss or something. I don't know. Bama went on to beat Florida in that first SEC championship game. Gene Stallings won the national championship that year.
No, Fulmer, yeah. I guess Fulmer coached the – okay, so Fulmer coached the Vols to a 3-0 start, yeah. I got a lot of old heads probably like, oh, man, these kids. So Fulmer coached the first three games 3-0, Majors returned and finished 5-3. Oh, man.
I just think it's interesting when
that was a fun time during sports radio.
I think it's interesting when you think about it.
Old man comes back in, takes over, and all of a sudden the team starts losing.
You'd have to start out the season 5-0 pads back in those days.
Started out the season 5-0, all the way up to number 7 in the country.
Sounds familiar.
Number 4 in the country.
2016.
1-point loss to Arkansas, an unranked Arkansas.
Of course.
7-point loss to Alabama. And then a 1-point loss at South Carolina.
Were those all in a row?
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. October 10th, 17th. Then you lost to South Carolina, an unranked South Carolina off of a bye. So history and repeating itself and all that. Well, I don't know how we ended up here, but here we are.
Sure was uplifting.
Okay. Good talk. I bet they were so mad when Majors took back over and he started losing. But you owed him loyalty.
Did he get removed midway through the season after that?
I don't think so. I think it was after the season. Like the contract pretty much just like, all right, you're gone.
Like I know that Fulmer like...
Yeah, it's pretty much takeover after the season, right? On November 29th, so...
I hear they still don't get along.
I think it was after the Vanderbilt game, before the bowl game. It's like, hey, you're not coming back. Need to read up on this. Guess it's something we should know. What's that, Cam?
It says Fulmer led the team to 4 wins, victory over Memphis, Kentucky.
So he got to coach the last 4 of the season to get back sick again? This is embarrassing. I hate talking about things we don't know about. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. For the got me hot. Back on the program, talking a little bit of SEC Media Days. So the whole Florida rivalry thing. It's one of the reasons I said, hey, we're not going to put any more extra emphasis on Florida. It leads to just being disappointed, right?
I'm still going to put a ton of emphasis on it. I'm going to base my entire happiness around it for this football season.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't seem like a good move.
Well, that's typically what I do.
I made that mistake last year. Now, granted, it wasn't like I missed out on a really fun season because I was sad from the Florida game because, I mean, it's not like you had a had a really successful season otherwise.
For me, it just takes longer to get over that one. You know, takes a full day instead of like 3-4 hours. A lot of games when you lose, you can just kind of drink them off. You know, go to the bar.
Sometimes that makes me sadder. I don't – drinking for me when I'm sad is not a good – it doesn't reverse my mood. It just makes me sadder.
I have a tradition where after the game I drink, typically just no matter what. And it's very joyous if we win the game. And if not, it's just a regular night. So – and the next morning I wake up, I take a shower, have some coffee – feel fresh, feel clean, and I just think about how it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of life.
Yeah, I can't do that. Again, we've already established you're just kind of a casual Tennessee fan. Like, you don't – the wins and losses don't really do anything for you.
I'm a big fan, but there's more to life.
Sure.
I mean, there's no need to stress over it, a game that
right.
other that college kids are playing.
You're able to do that.
Yeah.
You're able to do that. I'm not able to. I get more sad about it and angry.
It takes me longer with Florida is what I'm telling you.
Right. Like when Florida beat Alabama, I'm sure you were in a real phase, haze for a couple weeks.
That stick is just not – I don't think people are still laughing at that. Everybody knows I'm not that. So I think that's kind of – that's tired.
I don't know. I kind of disagree. I think people – Well, now that it's turned out to be true, I think maybe it's taken on a different life of itself.
I think people think that's ridiculous.
I'll put up a poll question asking if people think it's ridiculous. We'll let the people vote.
I won't acknowledge it.
But it's a reason why I've said, hey, I'm not putting any extra emphasis on this game. And I think people are kind of shifting now to caring more about Georgia. I'm not saying people are there yet. But I think it's shifting more. Do you think I'm crazy for saying that?
That it's shifting?
Yeah, that people are beginning to care more about Georgia than Florida.
I don't think that that's a crazy thing to think at this point.
Because if your criteria, like you mentioned, was, hey, you got to win some, you know, you can look at the Tennessee-Georgia rivalry and say, okay, even when Tennessee's been bad, they've still done a lot better against Georgia, right?
Well, you know, there was a long time from 2011 through 2016,
mm-hmm.
where that game was decided every year by 8 points or fewer. So that was a one-score game for, you know, six seasons.
Between what period?
From 2011 through 2016, it was decided by 8 points or fewer. So, of course, 2017 happened.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, like, before that, like, you know, leading, basically, if you go back to 2005, it was always a double-digit score. It was a two-score game. Like, Georgia won by 13, Tennessee won by 18, Tennessee won by 21, Georgia by 12, Tennessee by 26.
Then 2011.
Georgia by 27. Then at 2011, yeah, eight-point game.
20 to 12. And then it was 51-44 in 2012.
Yep, that was the was that the Bray fumble game or the Bray interception game?
Yeah, that was Bray. He got it.
It was the interception, right? He fumbled
South Carolina.
He fumbled against South Carolina, yeah, because Clowney stripped him. He threw an interception against Georgia, right?
That's right. That's right. And then 2013, that was the Pig Howard fumble.
Yeah, that was the overtime game was 3-point loss.
34-31.
Yeah.
And then 2014, we played them tight in Athens. That game was 35-32.
That's an underrated frustrating game. That was also a Peterman fumble. And at that game end, we were down three, and then we couldn't stop Georgia, and they scored, right? And then we got a garbage time touchdown at the end of that game, I believe.
Yeah, that one would have really been a double digit game
because Gurley, we couldn't tackle Gurley that game, and I believe he ripped off like an 80-yard run to make it a 10-point game with like 2 minutes left. And
we fought to the end.
We got a garbage touchdown to get it close, and then I think we got a chance to kick an onside kick, but couldn't get it.
That was one of those when everybody was talking about how Butch's teams, but they really fight.
They fight to
they
the
really
end.
Fight. They came up short, but they really fought.
And to be honest, through the first 2 years, they kind of did.
They did. They were scrappy. They were scrappy. And then 2015, we beat them 38-31.
Yep.
2016, we beat them 34-31.
Yeah, so, I mean, you did have a pretty good stretch. And, look, if you just look at the history, obviously it's a lot more even than Tennessee-Florida. Tennessee's had some success even during their bad times. Like, you know, they were able to dominate that game in 2009. And then, like you said, 15 and 16 get wins. And the rivalry is currently tied through 48 games, which is kind of cool. 23-23-2. Or 23-23, two ties. The rise of Georgia has kind of started swinging this, I think, to caring more about the Georgia game. Agree or disagree? Are you still like much higher on Florida than the Georgia game?
I disagree with that, but I see what you're saying, though. I mean, I can see the narrative. For some people, it may be starting to shift that way. I still disagree vehemently. Florida will always matter more than Georgia.
Is that because of the 90s, or?
It's just to me. I mean, it's.
I mean, I'm asking what does it for you. The 90s are just being the underdog in that series and not being able to win, and each win feeling like it matters so much more.
It's sweeter, yeah. That's what it is. It's the 90s and the early 2000s.
01, 03, 04.
Growing up through the frustration. And then having some solace in 03 and 04. Those were big memories for me. And then going a long, long time with no other wins. And then 2016, the greatest win I've ever been a part of as a fan. So that's always going to mean more to me.
Okay.
I mean, Georgia's big. But part of it is that Georgia is better now, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's a big part of my equation is that they are now kind of the class of the East.
They are, without a doubt. And Florida and Tennessee have to kind of battle it out to see who can surpass them, if anyone. Or maybe Missouri will just, you know, be the team that plays them close.
I was doing some research. The 14 game is when Hurd fumbled in the end zone and they scored. They scooped it up to score and they went up 35-25 at the very end. And then we got the ball back, went seven plays, 58 yards to make it 32-35, and they got the ball and ran the clock out.
That was the 2014 game?
Yeah, that's when Hurd got the handoff like on the 2 yard line, got hit like right at the line of scrimmage. The ball popped out. Might have honestly been like right in the end zone, and they fell on it for a touchdown.
Okay. I just remember Gurley running crazy.
Wild on us.
Yeah, well, maybe, I mean, like the maybe that was the start of the fourth quarter.
The drive before that was 5 plays, 77 yards, a minute and 38 seconds. So I'm sure there was one.
Okay,
giant
I'm looking right here.
There.
Todd Gurley, 51-yard touchdown run to make it 28-17.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee was able to score and get the two-point conversion. Shout out to Daniel Helm, the only play he made at Tennessee. He caught a two-point conversion. And then, okay, so we actually had the ball. We actually got the ball back down three?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. Then fumbled. All right.
Then we scored, and then they got the ball back and just ran the clock out because we didn't kick an onside kick because there was 2 minutes left in the game.
Oh, we didn't even try the onside kick.
Yeah, it says they got the ball back. 6 plays, 22 yards, 2 minutes, 14 seconds, end of game.
It's a really frustrating exercise to go back through Tennessee history.
It's hard for me to even, like, separate.
We did try an onside kick, by the way.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, yeah. They got the ball at the 44.
Oh.
Well, they then they ran the clock out there.
Yeah, okay.
Which series should we examine next?
For me, it's hard to, like, even, like, determine,
Kentucky?
Like.
Kentucky? Can we just, like, go to Kentucky?
That'd be fun. We'd at least have wins.
It's really stupid when you start looking at all these series and you just start thinking about the last 10 years of your football life. Like, it hasn't been a lot of fun.
No.
You said, and it really caught me by surprise, you saying that the 2016 Florida game was the best win of your fanhood, and I really didn't have any other answers. I mean, like, 98, obviously, but I mean, I was 8. You were what, 5?
I was 2.
Yeah, we were young.
You probably weren't even a Tennessee fan at that point, right?
I remember things about 98.
But not really.
But yeah, not enough.
He remembers Arkansas getting blown up at the line of scrimmage to lose the game.
Oh, I certainly remember that. I certainly remember that one. That'll always be my favorite game just because of my own personal upbringing.
Sure. And then like 2001, you know, that was a fun season. That Florida game was fun. I remember that one vividly.
I remember that one well.
But then after that, you start looking at the greatest wins ever that you've had since 2001, and you're like, oh, you had that one random Cal game, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We put it on Cal. They came in here ranked number 9. That was 06.
You had that.
They rolled in here thinking they were hot stuff, and we showed them kneeling. Got up 35-0 on them. You remember we just torched them, you know.
You had that random Cal game, and then, you know, the 2006 Georgia game, that was when you fell behind early in, right? And then you just stormed back and killed them.
06 Georgia?
Yeah. That was one down there with the block punt that you opened
that was
the floodgates
on,
right?
That was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right. That was 2006, that. Right?
Yeah.
That one was pretty fun. I remember getting hyped for that one when I was young because you were down.
I mean, there were some sweet wins in there.
You're down 24-7 in the second quarter and then just, you know, kind of stormed back and dominated.
The Fulmer era still had some pretty cool wins from, you know, up until 08.
The Hurricane, was it Harvey? Hurricane Harvey game at LSU. That one was fun.
I thought that was Katrina.
No,
was that Harvey?
It was actually Harvey.
It was 05, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like right after one after another type of deal.
Yeah, Katrina. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, they got hit again, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I think Harvey came in right after Katrina.
It was a tough time for New Orleans. By the way, there was a hurricane in New Orleans yesterday.
Barry, right?
Barry was making some. You know, the Stones played New Orleans last night.
Seems like that tour is kind of cursed.
You can't stop the Rolling Stones. Not even Hurricane Barry can stop the Rolling Stones.
Seems like you are destined for an earthquake that's going to collapse the Rose Bowl while you're inside
Good.
Of it.
Good. I hope so. I hope I slide right off the into the Pacific.
You'd
I'm
be
ready
would,
for it.
Would you be okay with that if I told you that's how you died?
Sure.
Earthquake while watching the Stones collapses the stadium
me.
And you die?
Kill me.
That's probably the best way for Cody.
That's how my Queen Cersei died. She got crushed.
Goes out with the band he loves.
I guess you and the guy you're going with could hold each other.
Yeah.
Probably.
As it falls on top of you to kind of go through like Cersei and.
Please don't let me die.
Yeah.
They'd probably just keep playing through it. They'd be like, hey, we've done this long enough.
They would play through it.
There'd be some irony there. Like,
it was actually.
Stones, Rolling Stones, like getting crushed by concrete.
Literally rolling
yeah, down on top
there'd
of
there'd be some irony there. So, like.
That'd be a good way to go.
Yeah. So, like, they got hit with Hurricane Barry. So it seems like this tour's cursed.
Well, it was kind of cool, actually, because last night, you wouldn't know this, but they have a song called Jumpin' Jack Flash. And they They open with that song.
It's a pretty terrible song.
No, actually, you know nothing about it. It's a great song. Sometimes they open with that song.
Really stupid. One of
and
the dumbest
the very first,
song titles.
The very first lyric is ever. I was born in a crossfire hurricane. And then
that's cool. So they're making fun of New Orleans.
They're in the middle of the hurricane.
That's fun.
That's what they opened.
It's fun
with.
That they're making fun of New Orleans for that.
That's not really how it is.
This is kind of why we avoid talking about Tennessee football.
I liked when Lane Kiffin went and put it on him in 09.
Yeah, that was a really bad Georgia team.
I mean, they seemed to,
That Georgia team was really bad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They had some hype coming into the season.
09, that was good. Yeah, we beat them down in 07, too. Eric Berry, no Sean Marino. And
probably a targeting hit now.
Well, that actually, we lost that game.
Yeah, we lost that
game. On the road. But at home.
Beat them 35-14 at home.
07, that would have been Eric Berry's freshman year.
Then you turn around in 2008 and lost.
Yeah, right. That was the big hit year.
Yeah.
Fulmer had some big wins during those times, though, if you think about it, even up until his firing.
It seems like, I mean, obviously, this isn't a hot take because you know how these seasons have gone recently, but the problem with all these wins is that they're all kind of wasted.
That's why you just got to enjoy it in the moment.
Like, are you allowed to, like, I mean, we shouldn't be in position anymore, right, where it's like championship or bust, right? I mean,
if you do that, you're just never going to enjoy anything. Like, I don't deprive myself of the 2016 wins over Florida and Georgia just because of the way it turned out.
At this point, just give me 9 wins in a regular season.
Yeah, I mean, the championship or bust isn't the right mindset, I guess. But, like, last year's Auburn game, that doesn't move the needle for me a year later. It was fun. It was fun the day of. Me and Cody did a great version of Ontario Reaction, but
very drunk version.
A really drunk, excited, happy version. But like we were happy for that day. But when I look back on it a year later, does it do anything for you beating that Auburn team on the road?
Not really. When I look back on it being a noon game, I mean, I still rank it up there. I'd rank that about like one of Fulmer's wins over. You know, one of those games we were just talking about, like beating down Georgia in 07, or one of those games that you look back on fondly, but really it didn't matter all that much. But yeah, I rank it up there.
Maybe that's the most depressing thing of it all.
You remember 05?
Celebrating a big win in a 5-7 season. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with the Hurricane Harvey game.
You remember when we beat Bama in the 5 overtime game?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Allen, I believe, knocked the ball away at the end there. That was a big one.
That's a problem with the Tennessee Hurricane game.
Remember 04, Will Hoyt's revenge, when he missed the extra point and then came back and nailed a 50-yard field goal to beat Florida?
Yep, I was there. I was there right in front of the goalpost.
I wish
he made
I could have been there for that one.
I was like 15 rows up.
That'd be a good one to be at.
It was a fun one to be at.
Very exciting.
Remember when Pilardi hit that field goal against South Carolina?
No, I wasn't there for that one.
I remember that.
I got in trouble at the 04 Tennessee-Florida game.
Really?
What'd you do?
We had a friend that we would always like hit whenever something good happened.
You would hit him?
Yeah, like, you know, like backhand into like the shoulder and like, you know, just
I see you as a very aggressive
teenager. Roughhouse type of guy. You know, a roughhouse situation, I guess. And
I would not
the
have
people
liked
around
you in
us,
school.
The people around us got mad and said we were being too mean to him. He didn't speak up. I guess maybe it bothered him. I don't know. Like it wasn't like he was complaining, but shout out to Charlie. We just beat the hell out of Charlie every time something good would happen.
What's going on with Charlie now?
I haven't talked to Charlie recently. Maybe he had enough. He got fed up. Last I heard, he was cutting hair in Las Vegas.
Oh, that seems like a pretty neat.
Yeah, he was really good. Really good barber.
I feel like most friend groups
he's
have
cutting
that
hair.
He was like, yeah, he was out there cutting hair in Vegas. I don't know. He's also like had another job. And then got a dancer pregnant, I guess, and then he's kind of stuck out in Vegas now. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We have a friend. I have a friend that we do that too. Like our friend group does. Like we.
He cuts like other people's hair though. Like he.
No, I mean like we would like hit him.
Oh, hit
we
him.
Hit him like whenever like stuff like that happens. Like I feel like every group has somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was that guy, and then he. Because
like we would do,
got
we
me
did
in trouble. Like I got reprimanded by the people around us. Said if we touch him one more time, they were going to get security to get us escorted out. So then I was just like, well.
Should have just started hitting them.
Maybe. I didn't know what to say.
Then they wouldn't need to go get security. They would just come to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in hindsight we should have been nicer to Charlie. But then the funniest part was that, you know, he used to get really mad whenever we would say, sorry, Charlie. So after we got reprimanded, we had to look at him and say, sorry, Charlie. And that made him even more angry than anything.
I bet that got old.
Yeah, we're like, sorry, Charlie. Sorry for hitting you. But then we saw the win. And that was cool in 2004.
That was actually my first live game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why I'm team let's beat Georgia this year versus Florida. I've got my attention on the Florida or the Georgia game more than Florida.
That seems like a tougher win.
I mean, it does, but it seems more rewarding to me doing it at home versus doing it.
ESPN says we're the trap game.
On the road. Just because there's a whole generation out there, it's like, yeah, remember that that 2016 Florida game? That was fun. That was a great win. And I mean, I guess there was the 06 Cal game. It's just not a lot of, you know, that 2016 Appalachian State game. That was a lot of fun. The big overtime.
That was
a gritty
fun.
Win in overtime.
That was not fun.
Remember when we...
That was probably the worst game I sat through, or the most nervous I've been in a game inside Neyland in a long time.
I remember being there and just dog cussing all game.
I was mad. That was whenever I was doing the videos. I had Tennessee fans turning on me for talking trash to Appalachian State, saying that I motivated them and that's why we were going to lose. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be awful.
I had a friend that was a South Carolina fan that I was talking to, that I would talk trash to in the offseason.
Yeah, we had really hyped up the whole season that year and it was all going to come crashing down.
After that first game, he texted me and was like, national contenders, huh? And I was like, don't talk to me right now. Like,
yeah.
I went off on him.
That was bad.
I haven't heard from that guy actually since then.
But how about when we edged out Northern Illinois in 08? Remember that one?
No.
13-9. That was a big one.
Remember that 10-3 win against Charlotte? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, hopefully Jeremy Pruitt just keeps it nice, short and sweet at media days today. Just get up and get down. Hour one's in the books, hour two on deck.